You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Kia ora I te whānau, kei te whakarongo mai nei, ki te reo irirangi pōho. You're listening to The B, and we have got a very special guest in the studio. Pretty much a celebrity at this point, a celebrity scientist. We've got the wonderful microbiologist Susie Wiles in here. Kia ora, Susie, how are you?
Kia ora, thank you for having me.
Oh, it's a pleasure to have you in here and to talk about something that's really interesting and come out of the strangeness of the last few years, which is a documentary that you are the subject of called Misinformation. Two words there. And it's kind of tracking the strangeness of the pandemic, and particularly for you in the heart of, I guess, a lot of our public attention around this, a lot of our messaging and the conversations that we were having as a country, or perhaps not having as a country sometimes as well. This is a really fascinating film which has been created by Gwen Isaac. Tell us a wee bit about how this came about. When did Gwen get in touch with you?
Yeah, so Gwen was actually making a documentary for a program of documentaries called Loading Docs. It's like a yearly thing, and they make short documentaries. And so she got a little bit of money to go to Japan to film a mixed martial arts artist.
Oh, wow.
Over there. Yeah. And this was March 2020.
Ah, yes. I remember that date.
Yeah. So she didn't make it to Japan.
No.
Because all the planes stopped flying. So Loading Docs had said to her, find another subject.
Right.
And somebody had said, there's this pink-haired lady talking about COVID. And so she sent me a message to say, you know, I've got money to make a documentary. Can I follow you? And the reason I said yes was because one of my good friends is a historian.
Yes.
And she had said, you know, start documenting as much as you can, because this stuff is going to be really important. And that first documentary was called Susie and the Virus, and it's just basically 8 minutes of my phone ringing.
Yeah.
And it really just does capture like the madness. So,
yeah.
You know, as soon as Gwen said, can I document you? I was just like, yes, absolutely.
Sure, yeah.
It seemed
strap
like it
in.
Was,
yeah.
Yeah, it just seemed like a really good way of me not having to do it somebody else to do it.
Absolutely.
So she made that first documentary, and then, and that was released in like maybe June or July 2020.
Mm-hmm.
And she just said, I'd like to keep filming you.
Yeah.
And, I didn't really want to be the subject of documentary, but she convinced me. And so over the next sort of few years, we kept coming back together, and she'd film little bits and pieces. I guess the good thing is that she lives in Wellington and I live in Auckland. So
you did get to have some space, perhaps.
Yes, yeah. So we weren't in each other's pockets. But when she was with us, she was, you know, I mean, like that. So that first first little documentary, she came and she basically spent like 4 days, 3 or 4 days with me, and it turned out to be the 3 or 4 days before we went into lockdown.
Oh, wow.
So
okay.
She captured me listening to Jacinda's announcement that we were going into level 3 and then level 4.
Yeah.
So she sort of really captured all that. And then, I guess the thing was, she had all of this footage, hours and hours and hours of footage.
Yes.
And she had to then decide what story she wanted to tell.
That's a really interesting problem for a documentarian, because, I mean, as you said, you bring up a really good point. I think any of us trying to think back through the last few years, the timeline is scrambled, the brain's been through a lot. Like, it's actually very hard to keep specific events in order. It's even hard to remember how you feel about things the first time they happen, and then, you know, the second and third and fourth and fifth time they happen, your perspective on that changes. So having something that can actually document that process in real time is really important from a history perspective.
Yeah.
But also from a documentarian perspective, then you've got lots of stuff to work with. How did you and Gwen talk about, you know, settling on what the core idea of this film was going to be?
Yeah, so I had no role in that at all. I mean, that's one of the really important things about documentary, is that, you know, the subject is not supposed to be part of that process.
Yes.
So this was entirely Gwen and her team. She had a great team of producers and an editor, who they were the ones who decided what story they wanted to tell. And there were probably lots of stories they could tell. I guess what Gwen had captured was this growing divide in New Zealand, as there has been around the world. You know, the increase in misinformation and disinformation, people going down the rabbit hole. And what that meant for me was an increase in abuse and harassment and death threats. And so what she's captured, the story she's decided to tell, is the story of that fracturing of us.
Yes.
And I guess from my perspective, where you see how it's all just how it builds and builds and builds. But because she has filmed from my perspective, she's also filmed from my family's perspective.
Mm.
So it's sort of, I'm really grateful this is the story she decided to tell. I mean, it was very nervous as the subject. You know, like you've handed your life over to someone and you've no idea what they're going to do with it. But I'm really glad that she's told this story because I think it's important that we actually address this because it's getting worse and worse. You know, when people, the film is about essentially the first 2 years of the pandemic. And I've had lots of people say, oh, you know, God, it's so terrible. And, you know, and really sympathetic about the abuse that I get because she, you know, she puts all the, not all of them, the stuff that we wouldn't want to put on film, but she's put a lot of stuff and everything is real. And so people go, oh my goodness, that was terrible. And I'm like, yeah, and it's worse now than it's ever been. So we need to talk about this more because it is having a massive impact on us and it is impacting on our democracy.
Absolutely.
I mean, we saw just today, Winston Peters spreading disinformation about the mosque attack, you know. So it's here to stay and we need to really address it.
And I think that for a lot of people that can feel like such a very overwhelming conversation to try and find an entry point into because it's exhausting. You know this probably better than anybody. It's very exhausting. It grinds people down. That's part of the purpose of it is to make people feel disempowered to be able to combat it and to sort of
to switch off.
Switch off and you switch off and then you aren't engaged and then whatever can happen. And I think what's really useful about a documentary like this is bringing, you know, a human element to it. Taking one person's story as an entry point is a very good way for an audience to be able to experience that and very generous of you and Gwen to bring people into your story as well because Susie it's a lot that you've had to cope with over these last few years.
I guess the other thing that comes out of this story is also I've got an amazing family. You know, I have a teenage daughter, I have a husband, and you know they're behind me every step of the way and so you see them in this film a lot as well. My teenage daughter would rather not have been in it, I think, now. But anyway, it captures her, and she's a hilarious character. So so it sort of brings that human element, and to me, it really showcases that the reason I am still here, still able to talk about COVID, is because I have these amazing people supporting me.
Totally,
you know, that's how I manage.
As I said, very grateful that this is a story you've let people into, Susie, because you've given a lot to everybody over the last few years. And I think this is a really important mark of something we've collectively been through. But from your perspective, which was very singular and very wraparound and helped a lot of people understand what we were going through and how we were going through it and how we could get through it. So I think there'll be a lot of people very interested to see this documentary, Misinformation. Now, where can people see it? And when can they see it?
Yeah, so it's released in cinemas today. It's in independent cinemas, so it's not in huge numbers. Here in Auckland, it's going to be at the Bridgeway in Northcote, the Rialto in Newmarket, and the Vic in Devonport.
Fab.
There's a little extra Q&A session at the Bridgeway showing on Sunday at 5 o'clock.
Cool.
Please do go and see it because independent films like this, you know, I mean, it was such a journey for Gwen and her team to get it funded and to get it made.
Yeah.
And these films don't last long at the cinema. You know, we really need people to go and see it. As I say, I think it's an important film for people to see because it really will remind us about what happened to us.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And it reminds us that we, you know, we did a good job and we need to talk about, you know,
and we
the kind of fallout from this sort of stuff. So
absolutely.
And I make no money from this at all. So I wasn't paid to be in it. I don't make any money from it.
Yes.
But I really would like you to see it because it's about important conversations we really need to be having.
Absolutely. Susie Wells, thank you so much for coming in and speaking with us this morning. Misinformation in cinemas today. Thanks.
Thank you.
Thanks for your time.
That was a 95BFM podcast. Support 95BFM with a B-card. Go to 95BFM.com/signup.